Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Office Evolution Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. We got a full house today, and this is going to be the last episode of the day, and we appreciate Andy Bean for making this happen here at Office Evolution in the Dunwoody, Dunwoody, how would you call this? Campus? Not a campus. It's a building here in Dunwoody. First up on Office Evolution Radio, we got Hank Corriere. Wrong. I said it wrong.
It's Corriere.
Corriere. You were right. You called it. You said I'd screw it up, and you were right.
That's right. I set the precedent for you, yes.
And you're with Tandem Payment.
Yes, Tandem Innovative Payment Solutions.
And tell us about Tandem. How are you serving folks?
So Tandem Payment is a company that's in the merchant processing business, which essentially means credit card. We help small and mid-sized businesses with all of their credit card processing needs, whether that be just the pure processing, whether it be the point of sale systems. We help, you know, like I said, small to mid-sized businesses from retail to restaurants to online stores to B2B, any and all of the above.
Now, are your clients primarily local here, or can they be anywhere in the world?
So the Tandem model is to have local agents servicing a particular area. We feel strongly that the relationship with the business is critically important, and we want them to have a person that they can talk to and speak with when things are going well, as well as when things aren't.
So you're part of your kind of secret sauce is this some consultation and some kind of personal human-to-human interaction?
Absolutely. So, you know, we like to have a face and a number that people can call and actually reach you and not just an 800 number that goes into Never Never Land.
And then, because that's what some of your competition is, right? Where it's like, oh, I can go online and I can get this similar service, but I may never talk to the same person twice.
Exactly. And there are a lot of great other companies out there in the market that do it. There are a lot of bigger companies, but we may be a little bit smaller than some of the big guys. We bring that certain aspect of service to it that they simply can't do. And obviously, we still have to be competitive with price. Price is what's important to everybody. It's always important to the businesses that they are saving money or processing at the most economical way possible. But again, the service is really, I think, where we shine.
And then you mentioned you serve a variety of industries. Do you do one more than other? Is it mainly restaurants or retail?
So for the business in general, you know, we have a lot of restaurants. We have a lot of retail. We also have a pretty good slate of B2B type opportunities,
like professional services.
Professional services, business services, whether that be office supplies, staffing, shared space locations, such as what we're in today. There are, you know, good opportunities in that space, primarily because there is additional discounting available on B2B transactions that's not available in the consumer space.
So now walk me through what it looks like. Like I have a business, we do radio. So like, how would we work with you guys?
So let's pretend that you're selling
radio
time.
We have sponsors.
Right. You have sponsors. And maybe you're accepting credit cards for those sponsorships. Okay. So I assume that's an all online process for you today.
Right.
And so somebody goes in and they sign up and they want to buy, you know, 30 mentions on Radio.
But we don't sell ads, but somebody could sponsor. But so they'll buy, 6 months worth of time.
Okay. So we would work with you to first of all. So there are two types of businesses. There's a conversion of an existing business who's already using a different processor,
right?
And then there's a new business that's coming in and wants to set everything right up from the get-go. You're an existing business,
right?
We would go and we would look at how you're doing things today, what the gateway solution is that you're using in order mm-hmm. to get to your processor. Is that a gateway solution that's open to third-party processors, or do they have a preferred processor that they work with? And if it's an open scenario, we would sit down, we would look at the rates, we would look at everything about the process. So it's not really just about rates, it's about the process, it's about trying to make you smarter in how you're doing your business.
And then if I needed like a swiping machine, you have that as well?
Right. We can sell terminals that can accept a swipe card, a chip card
right.
for the EMV, and the NFC, the Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, those types of devices as well.
So you have everything anybody else has, and then you're doing it with more customer service.
Correct.
And then is there any trends in the industries that you're seeing that I should be ahead of?
So there are a couple of different things that are going on. I mean, so in general, there's a lot of a movement toward electronic payments in general. So
recurring?
Yeah, well, there's recurring payments. So if you have a like going back to your sponsorship example.
Like a subscription.
Yeah. So if you're going back and it's a 6-month, 12-month kind of thing and they need to collect a payment every month, then yes, you can do a recurring payment through a processor such as us, and many of the gateway solutions that we offer, you know, have that feature set as part of it. So you would have the, you know, recurring payments. That's one trend. But one of the things that I did want to mention. So one of the things that we are seeing is that more and more businesses are accepting credit cards for their transactions. So in the old days, it used to always be, you know, let's write a check and
mail it in, and
people are trying to get away from that.
So you're seeing that more and more?
Yeah. I think because it's a more efficient process. It gets people their money faster. Yes, there are fees to be paid by the merchant that's accepting the cards, but the trade-offs are usually substantial.
But what about, do you help in any way where, like somebody says, they have a subscription or recurring, and then for whatever reason it doesn't clear? So then do you help us get it cleared? So
generally that's if there's a problem with the software will alert you if there's a problem with the card or something, and it's going to tell you that you need to go in and, you know, contact that customer because maybe their card's expired or, you know, the card's bad or something, and so that they can update the information on that.
And then and you mentioned like Apple Pay and Samsung mm-hmm. Pay and all those other kind of online things. You help me offer that?
But yeah, so on an online business, you're typically not going to be doing Apple Pay and things like that. People are just going to be keying their card in as part of that. You may have a physical presence somewhere where somebody needs to be able to accept a card in person,
right?
And that's where you're typically going to have the device.
So you need some sort of terminal,
right? Correct.
And then do you play nicely with all kinds of point of sale equipment?
So. We do. Most of the point of sale systems out there, we can be the processor for on the back end. But we also, Tandem also sells a point of sale system. We sell something called Clover, which is a First Data product, and it's a complete point of sale solution for typically the consumer oriented business.
Now, how have you always been in this business?
No. Actually, I started my career in the advertising and media business, of all things. I wanted to be in radio. No, I'm just kidding.
So is that the fallback?
I started out with a big advertising agency right out of college. Did that for a while. Worked in New York for a company that developed software solutions for advertising and media. And then I actually, because of some of the work I'd done At that New York company, I got interested in electronic payments, and that took me into banking for 12 years. And thankfully, I'm out of banking now. I wanted to do something new that was a little bit more entrepreneurial and let me kind of build my own base of clients. And that's when.
But Tandem's national firm?
Tandem is a Southeast-based firm. We're based out of Greenville, South Carolina, and I am the Atlanta representative.
So it's not a franchise.
It's not a franchise. It's a we have agents in numerous markets throughout the Southeast. I'm probably in the largest market today, we have a number of agents in Greenville. We have agents in Greensboro. We have agents in Fernandino Beach and the Jacksonville area. And then we have agents in a lot of smaller markets.
So you have a team with you? Or you're
so,
in charge
so
of Atlanta?
So I'm relatively new. I've been doing this for about a year here in Atlanta. We will be adding to the team. I don't know exactly what the timing will be on that, but the idea is that we can have several agents to support
Atlanta market.
Yes. But it's very competitive at the same time. So there's a lot of opportunity, but there are a lot of people that are calling on people too. So
how does the sales and marketing work for you? How do you get the word out?
So it's a heavy referral business. Once we have kind of established it, so the first, you know, I'll be honest with you, the first clients were hard because I didn't have the reputation, I didn't have the referral. I was knocking on a lot of doors early on.
Like literally knocking on doors?
Literally walking into businesses and talking to people. Of course, I knew some business owners from my previous experience. And so I started with those, and as that went well, they referred me to other businesses, and it's growing from there.
So kind of organically, once you started getting a foothold?
It does. I mean, we do some marketing out of the Greenville office, and we continue to look for ways to improve that and enhance those efforts as well. So,
do you have kind of referrers that help you?
So we can have strategic partners.
Strategic partners?
Yes. And those are typically smaller community banks. They can be CPA firms, mm-hmm. Those kind of things. We can set up partnerships with them, that are mutually beneficial.
And then because you work nicely with the banking, I would imagine. So then
we do. But it has to be the right kind of bank. I mean,
why you said community. That wasn't
correct.
An accident, right?
Correct. That's correct. So we're going to work with banks that cover a similar footprint to our own.
And have the same values in terms of customer service,
imagine. That's right. And that's how most of the community banks are kind of geared anyway. So
now what's the pain a potential customer is having right now where Tandem's the solution?
Oftentimes it's it can be a number of things. I mean, cost is the thing that comes to mind typically at first. They feel like they're paying more than they should be.
Well, historically that industry, there's a creep.
There is.
You start at one place and then a year later you're looking, I thought I was paying this. And then all of a sudden it's like,
Well, that's one of the big differentiators with Tandem as well. So Larry Finnegar, our founder in Greenville, started the company on the premise that there was a better way to offer merchant processing to small and mid-sized business. He was very unhappy with how banks typically treated customers. He saw a lot of rate creep, as you mentioned, Lee. And thought that, if we can go into the market and we can, tell customers that we're not going to raise their rates and we're not going to lock them into these crazy long-term contracts with punitive damages if they try to leave, then that's the kind of thing that we can differentiate ourselves on. And that's the kind of approach that we take.
Well, if somebody wanted to have more substantive conversation and learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So best thing is probably just to email me, and it's hank.corrier, CORRIHER, at tandempayment.com.
And that's the website, tandempayment.com?
Tandempayment.com. That's correct.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it.
All right. Next up on Office Evolution Radio, We got Mr. Albert Assad. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Lee.
Did you learn anything there? How's your credit card situation?
I'm watching it like a hawk.
As you should. So, Albert, you're with a company called Atlantic Consulting Solutions. Tell us how you serve it, folks.
Yes. So Atlantic Consulting, what we do is we offer management consulting services to small and medium-sized businesses in the metro Atlanta area. These are businesses that are generally making under $100 million in annual revenues.
So small is $100 million. $99 million is small.
Yeah, no, they can go as low as, you know, sometimes startups. It depends on the case, but most of the companies are generating around $1 million or between $1 million and $100 million.
So now, what percentage of companies is that in Atlanta?
Atlanta is one of the fastest growing sectors for small businesses in the United States. That's actually one of the reasons why we ventured about 4 years ago to start this business, because there are so many opportunities and there are so many business owners out there that have a great product and great service, but they really don't know all the ins and outs of how to run and manage a business. And that's what's created a big opportunity for us.
So you're on the, so the visionary might have an idea of something and there might be sales, but they don't know how to do the operation side, and that's where you help, the management?
So what we do is we bring three services to the table, right? We offer strategy, which is really creating a vision for the company. We offer management services, which is helping them understand how to implement that strategy within their day-to-day business. And finance, right? And I'm talking about business finance, where we help them to understand how to read their finances, how to interpret them, and how to create strategies that will help them to optimize working capital.
But how does the workflow work? Like, that, do they have pain in all three of those areas, or they typically have pain in one of the areas? That's the point of entry?
Not necessarily. You know, that's a good question, because some of them might actually have great finances. But when you talk with a business owner, you know, I like to say that 70 to 80% of problems in business come from people. And if you talk to a business owner...
70 to 80? I would think it's higher than that.
Well, that's what most business owners would actually tell me. They will say, actually, it's 90 or 100,
exactly.
Right? And so that's where we come in, because a lot of them, like I said, have a great idea. They might have a great service or great at a process, but many of them have not actually had experience in managing people. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know how to evaluate people. They don't know how to hire people. They don't know how to train them and how to supervise them and how to hold people accountable. And because of that, a lot of businesses have a lot of hard times. And there's a big rift between what the employee believes he's doing and what the owner thinks or says they should be doing. And so because of that rift, you know, you have people that leave, you have high turnover in some cases, and that's a lot of money that's wasted on the company side. And on the individual side, you know, they're put at high risk because now they got to go look for another job, right?
Right.
So the services that we offer really come and help companies in those areas. And particularly, especially lately, we've really gone deep into organizational culture with a lot of businesses. We believe that that's a big area where businesses can continuously improve, especially small businesses, because, you know, they started off and they really didn't have anything. And now they have something. So now they have more employees. Well, they need to create a culture that's conducive.
Well, you're going to have a culture whether you want to or not, right?
That is correct. That's a very good point.
Whether you planned it or not, you might as well plan some of it, right?
That's right. And when it happens unintentionally, then that's when you can have a lot of difficulties, because you as the owner might really be focusing a lot on efficiency and getting things done and making money, whereas culture is much more than that. And when you have a good culture, it will generate for you and it will bring that money that you're looking for.
So now walk me through. Oh, I'm a small business owner. We have what exactly is the trigger, that the first thing, typically your normal point of entry in a company?
You know, that's a great question. You know, whenever I see a business, I have a good idea of whether they need help or not. But a lot of times the business owner is not convinced, right? They need to have a certain situation.
But what are telltale like signs for you?
For me, it's basically when a business owner starts saying things like, you know, we're doing great, but I feel like I'm stuck. And, I want to find new ways of growing, but I'm not really sure. We've tried a bunch of different options, but You know, we'd like to find new alternatives, or, you know, I'm looking, you know, I don't know what to do, how to improve my finances. So a lot of times it's almost like the consultant's going to come in as a last resort, mm-hmm. right? And by that time it makes the whole situation
more late,
difficult.
Right?
In some cases it might be too late. In most cases they are, you can rescue them still, if you want to use that word. You know, you can still help them to improve. Sometimes it just might take a little longer. The longer you wait and you get deeper into a problem, obviously, the more difficult it becomes to resolve it. But that's why consultants exist, precisely to help them with
Okay, so you come into the company, and then do you make me do an assessment? Is there a discovery? Or do you follow me around for a week? Like, how do you kind of get the lay of the land to know what really the problem is, not what I think it is?
Right. Well, in our case, we're very tailored to the needs of the client, right? So we will first listen to what the needs are. We'll sit down with the owner, understand from his perspective what he believes they need. Based on that, we will make an initial superficial assessment, and then we will get into a deeper understanding of what's going on, whether that might include interviewing all the employees or management, whether it might be diving deep into their finances and understanding where they are so that we can propose solutions, whether it's just doing a scorecard approach that we have in order to detect areas of opportunity that we can focus on, and then create a specific plan based off of that so that we know there's a specific time period that we will be there. And if people are happy, you know, they keep us on for longer, and that's what's happened many times. They see that the product of what we produce for them has been very beneficial for the company, and so they ask us to continue working with them on other issues or challenges they may have.
So that initial kind of entry point, you kind of get your best guess on what it is based on what they're saying.
That's
you
correct.
Don't really
yeah.
know
That's right.
until
yes.
you kind of dive in there, right?
That's right.
And kind of live it for a little bit to
right.
see if they were, because the owner may not be accurate,
that,
or they might be a symptom of a bigger problem.
That's exactly what's happened many times. You know, an owner will say, hey, I need help with strategy. And then I come in and I do an assessment and I'm like, you know what? You actually need significant help with organizational culture before we do anything else, because all your people are coming in and out, and it doesn't matter how good your strategy is. If you can't keep your people, you're not going to go anywhere, right?
Right.
So then we shift gears and focus on that, right? There's a lot of different opportunities. I think what's important is that consulting is kind of an art. There's a science to it, but there's also an artistic part to it, because it's you have to evaluate, you have to understand that perception is reality many times. So what people believe is a problem, you will have to deal with that. Whether or not it's real or not, you have to deal with it so that people understand that, oh, there are changes that are taking place, and I believe in this process. And then you can really get into the root of the real problem.
Now, how much of your work is kind of as psychologists?
That actually many, many people actually do refer to me sometimes as a counselor. You know, the uniqueness about our approach is that, yes, it is very scientific. It's obviously very business oriented, but we really do become friends with a lot. I'd like to say with all of our clients, and this is their testimonies. I have many testimonies of them where they say that we go beyond that. We become friends. And to tell the truth, we end up not just giving them advice on business, but sometimes, you know, they'll ask us, hey, who do you refer to us for, you know, for my stocks, or who do you refer? And I don't do any of that, obviously, and I don't pretend to, but I do refer them to people that do those things so that we become a real trusted advisor for them on many levels for their business and their personal life.
Now, when you're a trusted advisor, it's personal now, right? And and you're a small business.
That's correct. Yeah.
So you're kind of in the same boat as they are. Do you have kind of resources you go to for this kind of advice?
Well, what we do is, yes, we don't pretend to know everything, right? I think if you're ever in a room with somebody that knows everything, you probably better watch out. You know, we don't pretend to know everything. We do work a lot with other trusted advisors of ours. We have a board of experts that also help us with different areas of the business. And especially when it's giving advice, you know, it's not just one person being involved. We do involve a couple of different people in that process, but there's always one point of reference with the client. So the mm-hmm. client's not, you know, mixed up of who to go to or anything
so
like that.
So there's one kind of quarterback of the account.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
And then, how quickly, once you come on board, is the client going to see some tangible difference?
Well, everybody asks that. All right, it's hard to say. You know, some cases I've told clients, look, it's probably going to take 8 to 12 months to actually see some results, and you know, sometimes we see results within 4 months. It really depends on the situation. It depends on how difficult, right? And it also depends on the nature of what you're doing, right? If it's a deep organizational problem, it's going to probably take longer. If it's a financial situation, you can look at the numbers and you'll see the results, fairly objectively.
Numbers.
Well, you know, you can always, you know, numbers can always be fudged around with, right? And that's what you have to be careful with. But
now, for you, what's the most rewarding part of the job?
You know, I love helping people, and believe it or not, you know, right now I do have, you know, I have 3 master's degrees. I've been international director of a company and all that. But before all of this, I actually started out in the nonprofit world when I was back in college. That was my first job, and I love helping people. So for me, being a consultant, I see that I've discovered a way to make a living and yet still be able to help people. And that's why we go above and beyond just providing business consultation, and it's really becoming a friend and close advisor to all of our clients.
Now, you mentioned your clients are small businesses under 100 million typically. Yeah. Is there any niches or industries that you serve that you know, kind of your clients are congregating around?
So we are not industry experts in any particular way. We bring management skills
to the
table.
So it's purposely industry agnostic?
That is correct. And so we, just to give you some examples, here in the Metro Atlanta area, we work primarily with construction companies. We've had several law firms in the past. We've had medical companies. We even energy. You know, we have all types. I've got some transportation right now. I just came from an electric company that is a client of ours now. So we're kind of all over the place, and that's okay, because we also can bring different ideas that we've seen in different industries. And again, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job in the sense of how to provide the product or how to create the product or service that you're offering. In our case, we team up with you and we add value to you by giving you the skill sets that you may not have or that you need to hone in and improve on, so that you can become a much better owner of the company. And that way, when we step away, we see that you continue being successful, because now you've acquired those skill sets that you did not have before that we brought to you, that now my success is really based on his. And that's why we don't really need to ask, you know, or do marketing, because we've been lucky enough that our clients have been so happy that we've really grown exponentially, because our clients just keep referring us to our clients.
And then what you're offering isn't like industry expertise, it's just kind of fundamental business expertise.
That is correct. I mean, some of it is fundamental, some of it is more advanced, depending on the size of the business. Now, you know, I say that we focus on small, medium-sized business. We do have some outliers. You know, we've had clients in, for example, in Mexico, we've had billion-dollar-sized companies as a client, and LNG company in Greece. I just came from Sydney. We had another client out there. So we do have outliers, so much larger companies, but those are not, that's not our bread and butter, right? We focus on small, medium-sized businesses.
Now, so your clients can be anywhere in the world. Do you try to get some that are locally here in Atlanta, just so you don't have to travel? Or
yeah, well, that's right. Well, and actually, you know, before this consulting, I was with other firms in the past, and I did travel a lot. You know, Monday through Friday for 8 to 9 months of the year.
Yeah, that can wear on you.
And you know, I loved it. You know, I love traveling, and I didn't mind that. But then I realized, hey, you know, I got to start settling down,
right?
And I want to be able to go and enjoy a beer with my friends at night,
occasionally,
right?
Occasionally, right?
That's right. And so, and obviously with family, and so that's why our primary core group of clients are here in Atlanta,
okay,
in the Metro Atlanta
area. So now you're kind of trying to own your backyard.
That's right. Now we're driving in the car versus flying in planes.
So now do you have team all over the world?
We have strategic partners that we work with. So yes, we do have representatives in other countries that are helping us with different projects that we have, but primarily the team is here in Atlanta.
So do you see any trends for 2019? Anything that you're looking at?
You know, I continuously read up on that every day. This morning I was listening, right, Wall Street Journal briefing, and it's, you know, it sounds like consumers are, at least stock market wise, are kind of pessimistic how this year's going to look. But, you know, you never know how the economy's going. But I tell my clients that all signs thus far continue to show that there is a stable economy that will continue that way. Some people say, well, the economy is kind of slowing down. So it's going, and I'm like, yes, but we're still doing way better than we were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And so we're still in a great spot. And, you know, with the strategies that we're implementing with our clients, we're still banking on that growth in the economy in general.
Now, what about any advice for a small business owner? What's some low-hanging fruit that maybe they can handle without calling you guys, but maybe they're not?
Well, you know, a lot of things really are kind of common sense. You know, it's really, you know, some basic principles are take care of your people and they will take care of you. Right. You know, don't spend more than what you can afford. Right. It's just some basic things that you can apply not just to your personal life, but to business. And if you do, really, you will be successful. You know, you might need some help from someone like myself coming in to help you kind of get that additional boost that you might want. But, you know, you should be able to handle things on your own just with a lot of common sense. But I also studied some philosophy, and I realized that the least common sense is common sense, right? So that's why people like me exist. But anyway, all kidding aside, I think if you really try to be authentic and sincere with the work that you offer to your clients, you will be a successful individual.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, what's your website?
My website is atlantic-c-as-in-charlie-s-as-in-sam.com. And you can reach me as well personally at albert@atlantic-cs.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the time.
All right. Next up on Office Evolution Radio, we have Jeff Bernier.
Bernier.
I was close. Just not good at this name.
No, thing. You actually did it very well. You know, my ancestors in Quebec would appreciate your pronunciation much better.
And you're with Tandem Growth Financial Advisors. Welcome.
Correct. Thank you.
Tell us about Tandem Growth. How are you serving folks?
Yes.
And you know, he's looking for trusted advisors.
I heard that. We should talk. So, yeah, Tandem Growth Financial Advisors is a fee-only comprehensive wealth management firm. So we partner with our clients to help them create the freedom and capacity to go live their version of a meaningful life. And it's really all about trying to be smart and wise in applying your resources to your goals.
Now, wealth management, that's only money, or because isn't wealth bigger than that for some people?
Yeah, and that's kind of our sweet spot, or what here's what we're passionate about. We're passionate about helping people uncover what matters most. Mm-hmm. And that may be financial or not. Oftentimes it's not, clearly. So uncovering what matters most and try to help them get their actions and their resources in alignment with what matters most. And so, no, it's much broader than planning, than investment planning or pure financial planning. And it's really about combining excellence in wealth management with deeper discussions about money and meaning and what's important.
Right, because a lot of times I would imagine people think like, oh, I'm going to you to just help me make more money or make my money make more money. But after a while, they realize, hey, I want to leave a legacy, or I want to give back to the community, or, you know, they define their wealth in a broader terms as they age.
Well, I think people that reflect on it, which we often don't because we're busy, you know, the resources are there to serve a purpose. So no one wants money for the sake of money. They want wealth and resources for what it can do for them, mm-hmm. whether it's to live free and not worry about work, or my children are going to be well educated, and or I can leave a meaningful legacy, or I can impact society in a meaningful way. So it really is about the purpose behind it. Is really what we try to get to as we build a comprehensive plan.
So now, what's the profile of your client?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, when people hire our firm, they're looking for planning. They're looking for a long-term partnership and ongoing coaching and advice. And they're looking for, again, this freedom to go pursue their meaning of a meaningful life and to enjoy the journey. And there's really two markets that we generally serve. A few years ago, I got involved in a group called the Halftime Institute, and it was all about digging into what matters most and how to have more significance in the second half of your life. And it occurred to me that most of the people that we served were these mid to late career executives who are trying to decide what's next.
Right, the second act.
You got it. So we have a large focus on corporate executives, mid to late career executives, who are trying to figure out what's next and how do I create the financial capacity to go pursue that their version. But we also serve a lot of dual income successful executives. So, you know, 35 to 50 year olds who are busy and, you know, they're working hard at their work and but they're still trying to be super moms and super dads and they just don't have time or capacity. And so we also work with those types of individuals as well.
So if they're executives, isn't a lot of their wealth in a 401k
oh, sure.
or something that their employer...
Yeah, well, it's a lot of places, but clearly, as we build wealth over time, most people end up having significant resources in their qualified plans because it's not as easy to get to, and we do it every month, and we don't think about it.
Right.
And so as a natural byproduct of behavior, without having to raid the cookie jar, it is a source of significant wealth. And so we advise on their retirement accounts, just like we do outside assets. But we also have some expertise on equity-based compensation and restricted stock options, you know, those kinds of things, and how to navigate the complexity around those issues.
Now, when you're working with executives at that level, when you meet them, don't they already have a financial advisor, a lot of them?
Yeah, many do, sure. Yeah.
So then what's the pain that they're having that they're saying, hey, you know what, maybe I ought to switch?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First, many people in our industry in turn are investment centric. So they focus on how do we...
Oh, like I got 12% last year. You switched us because we're smarter and we got a system.
Correct. And there's no real planning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So people that hire us generally hire us because we're goal focused and planning driven. So the financial plan drives the investment policy. And our industry will give you a questionnaire and ask you how much pain you can suffer.
Like your risk tolerance.
You got it. And so we'll do these online questionnaires or give you some method to evaluate your tolerance for pain and then recommend a portfolio that's virtually guaranteed that you're going to experience that level of pain at some point in the future. Well, it seems to us that we should determine what your goals are and try to determine how do we help you fund your goals with the least amount of pain possible.
Right. That's a different approach.
So I think it's one, it's planning driven, not investment centric. And then secondly, it's broader. So we give advice on what I consider to be the five key areas of wealth management, which is goals-based portfolio management, risk management and asset protection, cash flow and tax planning, liability management, and then wealth transfer. And so it's independent, holistic, a little bit more holistic than you might get with some advisors.
Now, are you working with my whole family? Like I have a kid that's 21.
Okay.
Would you involve him? Would you help him put him on a path, even though he probably doesn't have the wealth to be a client directly for you?
Yeah, that's very insightful. So we have, since we do deep, comprehensive planning, obviously we do have minimums. But we have a next-gen program for our clients' adult children.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, we would absolutely be honored to be the advisor for our clients' adult children. And that's, you know, that sounds real altruistic, but it's also a little bit self-serving because obviously they might get the wealth one day and we would still like to be
right,
a
but
partner.
Just to be clear so the listeners understand, that's not a normal behavior of a wealth advisor. Most wealth advisors don't follow when the client passes, the kid doesn't necessarily just automatically go.
I think
the vast majority don't.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true.
So to have that kind of proactive, relationship-driven approach is refreshing.
Yeah. Well, again, I think the reason that they don't stick with them are a couple of reasons. One is
they don't have a relationship,
and they're not motivated until
right.
the parent passes. And so we want to go and be proactive and create sort of a family structure around the planning.
Because that's part of my legacy is my kid. So how can
right.
he not be part of the plan?
That's right. And the second issue, I think, is people that have been in our industry for many years, we're aging just like our clients are.
Right.
And I don't know that we've done an adequate job of bringing in good fiduciary young advisors.
That succession plan, right?
You got it. And some of these younger clients want to be addressed and dealt with in a different way. So the advice is similar. It's almost identical, but they want to use different technologies or different tools.
Right.
And so you just have to be sensitive to that.
So now in your firm, how'd you get started?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a small town in South Georgia. My dad was a community banker, right? So he's the president of a small community bank. I say sort of tongue in cheek all the time, he was George Bailey, if that means right. anything to you, from A Wonderful Life.
Right.
Yeah, so as growing up, I always saw how he served the community, and that had an impact on me. And when I was in college, I met a certified financial planner, and I said, that's what I want to do. At that time, back in 1985, there was no real career path, so I got hired on with a Atlanta-based firm that was an insurance company-owned broker-dealer, and it gave me the opportunity to do financial planning fairly early in the process.
And a couple of years in, you got to experience what it's like when there's a lot of action in the market.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. April Fool's Day, 1986. So when 87 rolled around, I didn't have that many clients, so it was a great learning experience.
I'm sure.
So that impacted me, my father, and then, but I always got into it knowing that if we helped, this is a Zig Ziglar line, I know, but if we helped enough people meet their goals, we would be just fine. And so we've always acted as a fiduciary mindset, even though technically we were not fiduciaries at that time.
And then the decision to be fee-based is because you wanted to be aligned with your clients.
Yeah. And so we're actually fee only. There's confusion in our industry, but that's not unusual. We have a lot of jargon mm-hmm. that creates confusion. I think we're masters at that. So, I was with the other firm for 17 years and built a fee-based wealth management practice inside of a larger firm. But I was constantly frustrated with our ability to serve our clients broader and more objectively. And so at some point, it became obvious to me that to serve our clients in a truly holistic fiduciary manner, we needed to be independent. So that's why I left the larger firm and started Tandem Growth in 2003.
And then you have other advisors with you?
We do. We're a small firm, but I do have two other advisors in the firm. And again, we partner with a lot of large institutions around the world to help us do what we do.
Sure.
And we operate on a concept I learned many years ago from a coaching program where we only do those things internally that we're great at doing and we love to do. And we partner with other firms
that philosophically align.
Exactly. And whose unique ability is our area of merely competence or maybe excellence.
Right.
So we only want to do those things internally that we're great at doing and love to do. We also work as a team. So every client in the firm is a client of the firm's. And so all seven of us touch the client in some way, working in our own area of expertise.
And then how is it that you meet these executives? Like, that seems to be a difficult, unless you get them all by referral of existing clients.
Yeah.
Because you can't just say, hey, I'm going to run an ad for executives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As our other guests today have talked about, you know, we're in a competitive marketplace in
sure.
Atlanta. There's a lot of financial advisors in Atlanta, and there are a lot of people who need what we do. So trying to get through the filter of all that noise is not easy. Traditionally, we've gotten clients in one of three ways. We get a lot of referrals from existing clients, obviously. I mean, they obviously know the quality of the work and the client experience. We get referrals and introductions from other advisors. So we partner with CPAs, attorneys, bankers. So as again, focusing on those things that we're great at doing and love to do. We don't lend money. We don't sell insurance. We don't, we don't do tax returns. There's a lot we don't do that our clients need that we give advice on, but then we collaborate with other professionals. So we get a lot of referrals from other professionals. And secondly, as I mentioned, with existing clients. And then third, and this is the part that's probably surprised me over the last 10 years or so, is more and more successful clients are using the internet to find their advisor.
Really?
So back in the old days, you know, you would ask your friend on the golf course who your advisor is.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe we're more guarded today, or maybe we know we can do more research on our own today. But about a third of our clients come through just broad internet marketing type you know, presence, you know, on the, you know, I do a blog and a podcast and, you know, web page and all those kind of things, social media.
And then, so people just find you that way.
They just do a Google search, you know, Atlanta Wealth Managers, and maybe we'll pop up and give us a call.
So your clients are primarily here in the metro area?
They are, or they started here.
But I mean, they might have moved retired to Florida.
Yeah,
or
yeah. So in the 32 years I've been doing this, most of them started here, had a connection here, but we serve clients all over the world. As you know, with technology being what it is, we can have meaningful relationships
anywhere,
regardless. And plus, many of them fly through Atlanta at some point during the year, yeah, and so exactly. We can do at least one meeting a year.
Now, what's been the most rewarding part of the job for you?
Yeah, I think, as your other guest had talked about as well, I think it's the relationships. So I think it's building deep, meaningful relationships with people, and solving problems. And one of the things that we believe is one of our value propositions is just the recognition that there may be more than one right answer. You know, so we don't go into a relationship with blinders on. We do discovery, deep discovery, and present alternatives and coach clients on the alternatives, because there are trade-offs. And, you know, this is the lessons of the capital markets too, because in 2008-09, during the, quote, Great Recession, you know, many people who were planning on retiring, their plans had to change.
Right.
But by doing planning, when they came in, you know, a 30% decline in their portfolio, or a 20% decline, or even a 40% decline in their portfolio, really meant that they needed to work two or three more years, or they could retire at the same time on 85% of the income. So they had options.
Right.
So which do you value? Retiring at the time you had planned on 85% of the original goal, working a couple of years longer, or, nobody took this choice, however, increasing the volatility and the expected return in your portfolio. So it's really about choices, coaching people on choices and trade-offs. And we're passionate about that, because we can't, only they know.
It's their decision.
What they value right. most. But they do need a coach to kind of evaluate these alternatives, it seems.
Now, how often do you meet with your client typically in a year?
Yeah, so we're available on demand.
Right.
So they're paying a fee, an ongoing wealth management fee for access. Mm-hmm. So we're available on demand. We do a lot of communications, but the normal system is twice a year. So we do a semiannual review and an annual review. But again, if they have a challenge in their life, we want to be the first call.
Right. And if something changed or...
Absolutely. And so if they get new choices in their 401k, don't wait.
Right.
Do the same interview. If
6 months.
You know,
right.
if you're a parent just passed away and you need to deal with estate administration and figure out, can someone help me do these letters testamentary and all these letters out to all, let us help you. So it's really, you're paying for access as needed, but we've systemized the wealth management process so that we can be proactive.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, we'll they may not feel like there's a need for the semiannual review, and we'll do a telephone review. And but we use technology a lot so they can monitor the plan as well. So we're trying to be proactive, however, and if there's a need, we'll
and you
reach
want
out.
To be a valuable resource when they need it.
Correct.
In all areas related to their life, right?
That's correct. And again, that's why the relationship is key.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, where should they go?
Yeah, probably the best place is our corporate webpage, which is tandemgrowth.com. That's T-A-N-D-E-M, and then the word growth, tandemgrowth.com. There's a link there if you wanted to schedule an introductory call, or just shoot an email at info@tandemgrowth.com, and we can send out an information package.
And that, I'm sure it has thought leadership and all the coordinates of all your social media.
That's correct. There's a sub-tab called Perspectives, where I have my blog post, my podcast, and then other things that we link in.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having us.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. That'll do it for Office Evolution Radio, January.